This podcast is brought to you by Hyundai's iSale. Great drive-away deals, plus a $1,000 factory bonus on selected models. Only at the Hyundai iSale. But hurry, the Hyundai iSale must end soon.
We're only about 10 days out from a national election of real significance I couldn't begin to describe here to you, the correspondence I continue to receive about the trauma, the damage, the disillusionment, the mental anguish, and yes, the emotional torture that some Australians are going through as a result of this ludicrous preoccupation with wind power. Now, wind power, of course, comes from Kevin Rudd's so-called renewable energy targets. On that basis alone, in my opinion, Rudd should never be given any chance to govern this country again. The cost of this rubbish is monumental. Rudd is the architect of the renewable energy targets. And as I've said many times, if they weren't a problem, why then don't we have wind turbines in Macquarie Street? The letters I'm receiving are disturbing to the point of absolute anguish. Here's just one. Early this morning at 12:30 a.m. I woke suddenly. The sound of an intermittent ring, like a distant bell, and my body ached. When I got out of bed, my body was stiff and sore, aching around my kidneys and hips and back. The last episode reduced me to tears today. I've just about had enough. I don't want to have to leave my beautiful farm in a pine box. This is my home. This is my life. I'm so frightened about what's happening to me, as in long-term damage to my health. This is degrading to have to ask for a formal complaint number when you know that the person on the other end will read this and copy and paste another reply without any acknowledgement of who I am. These are people living next to wind farms, funded with your money. The Clean Energy Finance Corporation. One woman near the MacArthur Wind Farm at MacArthur in Victoria wrote to me to say that there are nights when the noise is heard above the television. She writes to me about headaches and nausea, which begin after the turbines start turning. A recent letter said to me, there are people at least 5 kilometres away who are feeling the effects and suffering sleep deprivation. Not every night, Alan, is as bad as this week's, but this week has been awful. This morning, we drove our son to Tullamarine. We were all wide awake. About 2:30 a.m, we couldn't sleep. I had a fitful 2 hours sleep prior to that. In total, I had about 2 hours sound sleep. How safe are we driving on the roads when we're sleep deprived? These people write to me because they have no one, I repeat, no one else who'll listen to them. We've demonised coal-fired power, so Kevin Rudd says we must have alternative power. He wouldn't have a clue. Renewable energy. Nothing about this in the national election, yet energy, electricity, energy users, energy costs to Australian industrial users are up to double those in comparable energy-abundant countries. This because of a carbon dioxide tax and renewable energy targets. This should be front and centre in a national debate. Electricity bills now account for more than 60% of the cost increases that have hit manufacturing since 2008, so they're relocating, moving offshore. You check your electricity bill to see I'm not right. Tens of thousands of jobs have been lost in 1 year alone. Kevin Rudd talks about young folk. Well, because employers are being hit with phenomenal costs of energy and penalty rates and minimum wages, 20% of 18 to 24-year-olds in Western Sydney don't have a job. 20% of 18 to 24-year-olds in Western Melbourne don't have a job. You won't hear about any of this in the so-called debates. Then you've got this Clean Energy Finance Corporation, your money, $10 billion of it. And that MacArthur wind farm in Victoria that's causing massive health problems to everybody who lives near it has received $50 million of your money from the Clean Energy Finance Corporation. Your taxpayers' money going to these vandals. This is near the town of MacArthur in Victoria. Now, Tony Abbott has said there should be no spending from this Clean Energy Finance Corporation until after the election because an Abbott government will abolish it. But the Rudd government's forked out $50 million of your money, a brazen and reckless waste of taxpayers' money as an investment in this MacArthur wind farm. Kevin Rudd set this thing up, the Clean Energy Finance Corporation. $10 billion of your money. It began issuing loans from July 1 this year. And in full knowledge, it'll be abolished under an Abbott government. It's handed out $50 million to these vandals at the MacArthur wind farm in Victoria. Closer to home, there was to be a 100-turbine wind farm near Goulburn, but protesters moved in and the planning application has lapsed. Thank God, Some of these people are getting nervous that an incoming coalition government might make wind farms uneconomic. In other words, if you want to run one, run it with your own money, but not taxpayers' money. The reallocation of funds from you as a consumer and taxpayer, they're pulling money out of your pocket and pretending we're reducing emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. The cost is monumental. Remember what Terry McCrann said to me. This whole carbon dioxide tax and renewable energy targets are a national suicide pledge. Well, in the doctored people who attend these forums, and we just seen yesterday one of them admitted she cheated and she was a Labor supporter, don't expect any questions in these so-called debates about this national suicide note. Renewable energy targets, which subsidise with your money windmills and rooftop solar panels and force your electricity bills through the roof. Well, Christopher Booker is a remarkable award-winning English journalist and author. In 1961, he's one of the founders of the magazine Private Eye. He's contributed to it since then. He's been a columnist for the Sunday Telegraph since 1990. And he's taken a stance which runs counter to the so-called scientific consensus, which doesn't exist, I might add, on this issue of global warming. We spoke to him in 2009 when he published a book called The Real Global Warming Disaster. But he's written recently about the decision in Britain last year by their energy minister, John Hayes, to limit the building of any more onshore wind farms. And Christopher Booker has called it the beginning of the end, this is his words, to one of the greatest and most dangerous political delusions of our time. He's on the line from London. Christopher Booker, good morning and thank you for your time.
Good morning to you, Alan.
We've got an election here. None of this will be discussed.
I can't believe, Alan, what I've been hearing from you the last few minutes. In Britain, you would not be in a million years allowed to say even one word of that on the BBC, which is...
I'm most probably not allowed to say it here either, but...
Tell us lies about global warming, wind farms and all the rest. Anyway,
You wrote about the plan to cover hundreds of square miles, same as here, of the British countryside with ever more wind turbines, and that was the centrepiece of Britain's energy policy. That is what is happening here, and you can't get a debate about it.
I am appalled. I am horrified, and I have to say amazed, that you guys, who we think of still as being some of the most practical and sensible people on this planet, should rather belatedly have fallen for this colossal, utter, mad, crazy, and, as you say, dangerous delusion. I mean, there are lots of bits of it, but one of the biggest is this idea that we can generate useful amounts of electricity at a reasonable cost from millions of windmills.
Yes, I must say, I've just seen a piece here from the Telegraph in London, which begins by Robert Mendick. I don't know who he is. He says, some of Britain's biggest wind farms are at times producing only enough electricity to make a few cups of tea.
Yeah, well, this is true, because the whole point about... I've been writing about wind, the great wind scam, as I called it, back in 2002. I've been writing about it for 12 years now, or 11 years, to be precise. And I could see... I did my homework. I talked to some experts. I mugged it up, and I could see within a few days of hard work that the whole basis on which this belief that we can use wind to create useful amounts of electricity was utterly, there was nothing there. Because ultimately, well, for various reasons, but one of which, of course, the most obvious, is the one thing we all know about the wind is it sometimes blows and it sometimes doesn't. And you therefore have enormous problems, quite apart from the sort of problems you've been talking about, like the health risks and the horrible infrasound problems with noise and so on. The fact is that wind is an unbelievably unreliable and unpredictable way of generating electricity, and you don't get very much for it. You pay out billions. I mean, we are talking in Britain about spending £120 billion on covering, as you say, hundreds of miles of countryside and the coasts, the sea around our coasts, with huge, great, giant wind turbines, all of which have to be subsidized up to the hilt. We pay 100% subsidy for onshore wind farms, and the ones offshore, which we're getting more and more of, we have to pay 150%. In other words, we're paying you know, 1.5 times over the odds for the pitiful amounts of electricity they so unreliably produce. It is absolutely unbelievable. Generations are yet unborn, or indeed perhaps, I hope, the sons and daughters of people still alive, now alive, will look back on this as one of the craziest sort of aberrations in the history.
Unbelievable. Absolutely. Has your Energy Minister Hayes uncoupled the gravy train?
Alan, I have to tell you that that little outburst by Mr. Hayes, which made big headlines in the UK, enough is enough, he said, no more onshore wind turbines.
Yep.
And he was employed in our energy, at our ministry for, our department for energy and climate change. And you've got one of those too.
Yeah, we have.
Now, isn't it interesting that they should slip climate change into the name of a ministry?
Absolutely.
I mean, what a giveaway that is. Anyway, Hayes made this outburst, and what you haven't perhaps caught up with, because I'm afraid the news takes quite a long time to reach from you to us and us to you in these days when these undersea cables
or there are some news that they don't, some aspects of the news they don't want us to know about.
Yeah. Well, the fact is that Hayes did get a huge amount of publicity for this remark because there is enormous anger and rage about this wind farm policy in the UK, just as there is in Australia. But within a week or two, Hayes's superior minister, who's a member of the Liberal Democrat Party, which, as you know, is in coalition with our Conservatives, he slapped Hayes down. Hayes was removed from his job, and all sorts of statements are put out saying he was talking out of turn, he didn't know what he was talking about. But the interesting thing is that Hayes was actually speaking for an ever larger constituency of people who have belatedly, and they've taken a long time about it, come to see that the whole wind thing is just a complete hoax.
You called it 10 years ago the greatest mistake in our history, and I'm speaking to Christopher Booker, a respected author, but also a researcher who's done homework on this. It's a view outside Australia to which we should listen. Christopher Booker said the fashionable enthusiasm for wind energy is based on a colossal illusion.
Absolutely. The trouble is, it has so many different bits, this illusion. You've talked about the health risks. We've talked about the money. Colossal sums of money being shoveled into the pockets of the people who build these things. The idea that you can get useful amounts of electricity. But there is another huge problem, which we are beginning to get in the UK, which is that the more you depend on wind for a higher and higher percentage of the amount of electricity your economy needs to keep functioning, we need to keep the lights on. The higher that percentage gets, the more you have to provide backup for all those times when the wind stops blowing at the right speed. And they've come across this in Germany already. We're coming across this in the UK. And the latest little stunt, which I've been writing about occasionally recently in my column in the Sunday Telegraph, is that they have now a secret plan to how to keep Britain's lights on, because they know that they're going to, as the
face of blackout,
destabilize the grid and then get blackouts. And
happened here in South Australia last year.
Oh, you've had them already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you know what they're coming up with in the UK? And they'll probably come up with it. The trouble is, this is a worldwide disease. So if you have a disease, you'll catch it.
Absolutely.
The other way around. What they've come up with now, and they're not boasting about it, they're not shouting about it, but we've been doing a lot of homework behind the scenes. They are signing up thousands and thousands of diesel generators, which are, thanks to modern computer technology, and it's very, very sophisticated stuff, they can be all hooked up to the grid to be controlled automatically, but remote control, so that when the wind stops blowing at the right speed, instead of having to depend on expensive gas-fired power stations, in order to keep the lights on, they will simply trigger all these generators to start churning away, producing electricity.
Yep.
And they're talking, this is on a huge scale, and to do this, in order to make it worthwhile for people to buy and install these diesel generators and hook them up to the grid, they're paying absolutely amazing subsidies.
Staggering.
Far larger than we pay to wind farms.
Well, in South Australia last year, South Australia here have 20% of their capacity in wind. The wind stopped blowing. The system remained in operation only because there was a retired coal generator which happened to be running experimentally. Otherwise, large areas of the state would have had to shut down.
Alan, that is you're bloody, well, the South Australia where I was last year, incidentally, is bloody lucky to have one spare coal generator still there. Because, of course, what we're doing in the UK is we're closing down all our coal-fired power stations.
That's right.
Incidentally, this day, I happened to look earlier today, was producing 44%, nearly half of all the electricity we need.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then it closed down. Your madness and our madness are the same.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you. I just want to end with what...
Just tell me, is there any hope, if Tony Abbott gets in,
yes,
that they'll put an end to
this? Well, I'm hopeful that the renewable energy tax will be abolished, and that's the pressure that's
and
being...
And the carbon tax.
Yeah, I beg your pardon? And the carbon tax will go. It will go. Under Abbott, the carbon tax will go, and renewable energy targets hopefully abolished. But, Christopher, we'll keep in touch. I do want to talk to you perhaps even after the election.
Okay, Alan.
Many thanks.
And my greetings to Australia.
Thank you so much.
And you deserve to win more of those test matches than you're allowed to.
Thank you so much.
This podcast is brought to you by Hyundai's iSale. Great drive-away deals, plus a $1,000 factory bonus on selected models. Only at the Hyundai iSale. But hurry, the Hyundai iSale must end soon.